the input costs of what we call conventional farming are going through the roof, and they'll continue to do so because they're basically tied to the price of fossil fuels and declining reserves of phosphate and potassium. Now, organic farming is about making better use of those nutrients and hanging on to them on the farm rather than having them washed down the creek and become a pollutant elsewhere. So I think the move towards organic farming will be driven by pure economics rather than greeny logic.
So do you think the idea of organics being purely for the environment will be overseen by the economic benefit of it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, there's the health benefit. If you can grow stuff without all sorts of man-made toxins, well, that, you know, seems reasonably logical that that's going to be better for your health. But, yeah, I think as time goes by, the economics of what we currently call conventional farming will swing against it. And you've got to understand how this has come about. We've said, all right, as a society, research has got to be done by private business, not government. So the businesses are doing research in stuff they can sell farmers. They're not doing research into agricultural practices that produce better outcomes. That research is being done by farmers themselves. From an economic point of view, you can understand the corporations. They're in the business to make money. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you understand that they're only going to do research into stuff that they can sell people. When there's plenty of good science happening within the organic movement, that is sort of, if you like, the science is a community resource, and that's the fundamental difference between organic farming and high-tech research-driven farming.
Now, do you think we can maintain diversity if farmers are encouraged to produce high volumes of limited varieties of produce?
I think that's the basic flaw of modern agriculture. We've got the situation that as prices go down, farmers attempt to produce more of a commodity to maintain their living. Economics 101 says that doesn't make sense. If you've got an excess, the last thing you want is to produce more. And yet we've got this, and farmers have been encouraged to produce more and more stuff, and the more stuff we produce, the more the income goes down. So, you know, there's a fundamental flaw in the economics there, I think.
So do you think it's an economic fear which is sort of holding farmers back?
Well, it's complex. Like when I was a kid, Mum and Dad were battling on the orchard, and at that stage in the, you know, late 60s, the talk was all get big or get out. And I've seen it happen. Lots of, you know, some people have got big and then gone broke and got out. I think it's get small or get out. I think if lots of small producers producing what they can manage themselves with the family without having to employ people, because once you do that, you get involved in a whole heap of bureaucracy, it provides for a healthy, dynamic food supply. So lots of small producers are going to be better for a stable food supply than a handful of big producers, because when big producers go broke, you've got real problems. And that's the same problem with Coles and Woolworths. You know, you've got two companies now. If one of them was to go belly up, and, you know, these things happen. Look at ANZAC, HIH, you know, Kodak. These companies potentially can go broke. And when you've only got two companies controlling the food supply of the country, that's dangerous. But the farmers markets movement is growing. And it's I think, you know, it's real free enterprise private market. And it's a healthy situation. And it provides an opportunity for small producers to get a decent return. But I think the situation will swing around, and the time of the small producer will come back.